is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There's a saying, if you want to travel far, you have to travel light. So get rid of the things that hinder, like habits, traditions, relationships that can hinder your walk, pursuits that take up your time and your energy and don't lead toward God's vision for what this life is all about. Get rid of those things. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient or helpful in that goal of becoming Christ-like and ministering that Christ-likeness to the rest of the world.
There are many people in the church today that are very proud and excited about their liberty in the Lord. Now, having liberty in the Lord is an amazing thing if that liberty is being used to set us free from the sin that puts us in bondage. We shouldn't be doing questionable things just because we have liberty. Those very things can put us right back into bondage. Today, Pastor Troy will be reminding us that just because all things may be lawful to us, it doesn't mean they're healthy for us in our walks with the Lord. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
There aren't many who are going into Syria or able to get into Syria to minister the gospel. And he said this. He said, don't be afraid of the refugees coming. Here's the problem. For so long, no one would go into these Muslim countries. Of the Christian missionaries that went out, very few ever went into these countries. They were afraid they would not go. He said, so God's bringing them to you. So don't be afraid of them. Minister to them. This is what God is doing. It gave me a whole new perspective coming from a man who comes from that. Just to give you a little, when you share your faith, one of the worst things that you can do is be wishy-washy about it, uncertain about it, because that's a sign of weakness. It's not that you're butting heads with someone, but you need to be sure of what you believe. So if you haven't settled that, you need to do that. This is why we want to study the Bible, so that we are certain about our faith, certain about these scriptures. We can tell someone, test them. That's the confidence I have in them. I cannot be shaken. So there's so much going on. God is speaking, and he's speaking over to them, so many Muslims in that area. But God has spoken today through his Son. Everything he wanted to say, everything he has said is found in Christ. What he said, what he did, who he is. In chapters 3 through 4, so chapters 1 and 2, we have a better messenger. Chapters 3 and 4, we have a better moderator. Moderator than Moses. Moses was the moderator of the law. It was through him that God gave the law. The Israelites heard God's voice briefly, if you remember. And then they said, okay, Moses, we believe you. We don't want to hear him anymore, lest we die. You listen to him. Get far away from us. You listen to him. You tell us what he said, and then we'll do it. So basically, they're saying, Moses, if anyone's going to die, let it be you. You go spend time with him, and then you tell us what God has said. And so Moses was the moderator. You know, there's a book written years ago by a man named Michael Shapiro, called the Jewish 100. It listed 100, the 100 most influential Jews of all time, ever. Number one on that list of Jews who influenced the most of all time was Moses. Number two on that list was Jesus. Now, the author of Hebrews would say, I disagree. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3, The author writes, "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house." Moses was a man who communicated God's law to us. But Jesus is the very word of God. In other words, there was when you heard from Jesus, you not only heard the words of God exactly, but you also got it from the personality and character of God. He is God. So we have a better moderator. Chapters 5 through 7, we have a better mediator than the priesthood, Aaron and the priests. A priest was a mediator, someone, a go-between between men and God. Because of sin, again, men could not come into the presence of God, the priesthood, so they were set apart. So they lived their lives set apart for the Lord so that they could stand in the gap and offer your sacrifices. You couldn't even offer your own sacrifices. You were to bring them to them, and they would offer your sacrifices, and through them, you could have your relationship with the Lord. But the problem with the priesthood is they were imperfect. They also had to have blood atone for their sins. They had to sacrifice for themselves. Jesus, on the other hand, was perfect. He gave his own blood as the sacrificial lamb, as the sacrifice, and then he was the perfect priest. He didn't need anyone to atone for him. He was perfect. And what we learn is in Hebrews is that Jesus' priesthood is under the order of a man named Melchizedek, not Levi. You had to be a Levite to be a priest, and a Levite couldn't own land. A Levite could never be a king, so a king could never be a priest, and a priest could never be a king. And then there's this man, Melchizedek. After Abraham rescued his nephew Lot, when Lot had moved into Sodom and then Chedorlaomer and the five kings kidnapped them and took them, Abraham goes and they rescue Lot. Afterwards, Abraham's fearful, like, oh no, what did I just get myself into? But God comforts him. Hey, I am your defense. I'm your shield. And then this man comes later on, Melchizedek. Interesting guy. It speaks that he has no genealogy to speak of. That it gives this idea that he's just here. And then he comes from Salem. It's called the King of Salem. Salem was the old name of Jerusalem, so the ancient city before it was called Jerusalem. And Salem means peace. Not only that, but his name, Melchizedek, means King of Righteousness. So here is this man called the King of Peace, King of Righteousness, Melchizedek, who shows up with communion, bread and wine. And he takes it. He gives it to Abraham. Not only that, but in this encounter, Abraham ends up tithing to this guy, giving him a tenth of all his increase. A tithe was given as an act of submission, saying, "You are in a greater office than me." Now, the author of Hebrews will refer to this encounter, Abraham's encounter with Melchizedek, to show that the Melchizedek order of the priesthood is greater than the Jewish order, the Levitical order of the priesthood, because he says Abraham offered him a tithe, submitting himself, calling Melchizedek greater. So since Levi is a descendant, Abraham being greater than even our Levi, then Melchizedek is greater than Levi. So through, his words are, through Abraham, even Levi tithed to Melchizedek. And there's a messianic psalm that points to the Messiah as being a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It's Psalm 110, verse 4. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." I said this a little bit earlier, but Melchizedek was a priest and a king. That's the idea of the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. See, the Jewish priest could not be a king, and the Jewish king could never be a priest, but Jesus couldn't fit under that model because he would be both king and priest under the order of Melchizedek. So we have a better mediator. Chapter 8, we have a better ministry. Better than the ministry of the law, we have the ministry of grace. Isn't that good? And we don't have to go, you got to stop this. You got to change this. Do this, do this, do that. Change that, change that. We don't have to do that. I know maybe some like to do that, but that's not our ministry. Our ministry is the ministry of grace. In chapter 8, we see that the new covenant, this idea of walking by faith, not by the law, didn't begin with the gospel writers, but it began before that. It was predicted and foretold in the old covenant. See, the old covenant tried to control our actions, the do's and the don'ts. But the new covenant promised to work on the heart. As we follow by faith, our hearts would change. So we have a better ministry because we don't just modify outward behavior. We give people truth that transforms hearts and lives, and it gives life. So we have a better ministry. Chapter 9, we have a better monument than the tabernacle. We learn that Jesus didn't go into a tabernacle and speak through billows of smoke on our behalf in a temple or tabernacle made with hands and offer the blood of some animal that had to be sacrificed over and over and over again each year. He offered his own blood and he went into heaven itself. Jesus rose, went, and now he will be the judge. So we have a better monument as we look toward heaven. Chapter 10, we have a better method than animal sacrifice. We certainly have a better method. Aren't you glad this morning as you came to church, you didn't have to pick out the animal you were going to bring for your sacrifice? You'd have to bring your animal sacrifice, kind of walk it into church today. I mean, we'd have to have running water. I mean, that would change the whole dynamics of the service. Forget about settle your children down. I mean, settle your donkey down. Settle this down. You guys got animals in here, sacrifices. It's noisy. We have a better method.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
When Jesus went into the heavenlies and he sat down, you know why he did that? Because the work was finished, was done. He sat down as our judge. He sat down in that place of authority and honor, but he also sat down because the work was done. From the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's done." So that's the doctrinal instruction. Chapters 1 through 10. The last three chapters give us the practical exhortation. And we could sum them up under one, saying that we have a better manner or way to live. Chapters 11 through 13. The life of faith is superior to the life under the law because faith produces something that the law never could. Law produces obedience, but it doesn't produce heart change. But the grace of God, which allows us to be free to make a choice, changes our heart because now we take the word and with our freedom we make certain choices and we compare it. And if you're a person who is walking by faith, you go, you know, your way is better. So now it's not that I have to do it. I want to do it this way. The grace allows us to learn that lesson so that the heart can be changed. And then we learn, and then we grow, and we are never the same. And grace, this new idea of walking by faith, it predates the law. In Hebrews, we see that they bring out this cloud of witnesses. Some of the witnesses predate the law. Before the law was given, certain men did certain things. Abraham, followed by faith. He's one of the big examples. Other witnesses that are in the cloud of witnesses came after the law. The examples are given not to condemn us. It's like they're watching Abraham and Moses. They're all watching you. So run your race the right way. No, the idea is, look, these guys did it. And if these guys could do it, this cloud of witnesses, you can do it. You know, I heard the story, one of the stories from the guy from Syria. He told about the church, how it's exploding. Not literally exploding, although that's going on too. They're growing in numbers. And because of this, and because they've never really had Bibles, it's illegal to have them there. They don't have a lot of knowledge. So what they're doing is they're taking the Christian leaders, and when they say leader, they're like, okay, you're the leader of this church because you've been a Christian longer. And when I say longer, we're not talking they've gone to theology school and all of these things, 20-year veterans, 2 years. 2 years with limited knowledge. And so they're seeking desperately to be trained now, not just to raise their families up, which is what they were doing, but to pour into these people. And they've been trying to, they're being smuggled outside the country so they can be in an environment where they can learn the scriptures. Now, they're risking their lives to go outside the country, these 2-3-year-old Christians who are the mature ones, the leaders by designation. And they're going out and risking their lives, being shot at. Many of them don't make it because they're killed. Many of them are beaten and sent back. He told the story, one group, they so wanted to get over there so they could study the scriptures with guys who could help them learn, that they took their beating, and after the beating, they said, okay, you guys have beaten us, you did this, can we go to that side now? And they didn't let them go, they sent them back. But they get over there. When they get over there, they said they had little conferences for them that were, you know, 6 hours a day in the scriptures, solid. But the guys would say, look, we have nothing to do here. We need the scriptures. We're here to learn. I risked my life. I got a bloody lip. I got all this. So can you make them longer sessions? So they made them 8, ultimately 10 hours. Of just solid, we're teaching, we're going through, we're answering questions, 10 hours each day. That was it. Bible, 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 getting it in them. Because they're no longer studying just to have a better family. They're no longer studying just to change their own personal lives. They know that the load has been given to them to carry in and instruct all these Christians, these converts who know nothing of the scriptures. They're risking their lives. This is going on every day in Syria today. God is doing amazing things. The media doesn't show us those things, but God, through this answer to prayer, according to, they call him Brother John, is an answer to prayer. So we have a better manner, way of life, one that would cause us to walk by faith and risk our lives for the sake of the gospel. Chapter 12, it gives us a picture of a race. The idea is, if there's anything that you're carrying, anything that you're holding on to that would hinder you from running the race, then you got to let go of it. You got to let go of those things that are not significant in making you more Christ-like and causing you to become all that God wants you to be. Fixing your eyes on Him so that you're not entangled with the affairs of the world, the things of the world. There's a saying, if you want to travel far, you have to travel light. So get rid of the things that hinder, like habits, traditions, relationships that can hinder your walk, pursuits that take up your time and your energy and don't lead toward God's vision for what this life is all about. Get rid of those things. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient or helpful in that goal of becoming Christ-like and ministering that Christ-likeness to the rest of the world. Wilbur Chapman said this, my life is governed by this rule. Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life and makes Christian work difficult is wrong for me, and I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. The author of Hebrews knows that they're facing persecution and trials. He knows that. So he's encouraging them by saying, you know what? Bad things have happened to God's people. Bad things do and will happen to God's people. You will be persecuted. That will happen. So fix your eyes on Christ, because you need to. Just spent some time also this weekend with a family. I think it's a really godly family. Some of the things they said, it was like, are there still prophets today? Because you're speaking like right. Did someone talk to you about me? That's been a long time. So I spent time with people who were like speaking that way. I didn't say that, but I spent time with this family. And one of the things the wife was saying was, you know, we are going to experience persecution. We're talking about some of the persecuted church. And she said, but sometimes the persecution here isn't the same as persecution over there, where it's real obvious. Some of our persecution, but that other persecution's coming. Don't worry about it, because we need it. That's coming. But the persecution we often experience is you want to grow in the Lord. And so your family begins to look a little different. You're not because of laws and rules and regulations, but because of Christ-likeness. You start to say, you know what, we're going to dress modestly. Here's our standard of modesty, or we're not going to watch these kinds of movies. We're free to, but we're not going to, because when it comes in, it comes out. It changes us. We start making these stands, and then they start looking at you. And she looked at Joshua, who was there, and she said, and Joshua, your persecution will be when your peers might say, you're weird, or that's too much. Or yes, you can do these things. And that'll be your persecution, because they will make fun of you. They will distance themselves from you. So we have persecution even here for those who want to, what does the scripture say? Live godly, right? You will suffer persecution even in the house of God. So Jesus is superior. Sometimes you may feel like he's all you have. But thank God he's superior. He's enough. We have access to God because Jesus is the full, complete, final expression of God. Better than anything or anyone else, he is our high priest, the one we can go to. Some of you may be going through fiery trials this morning. Life is difficult. You can feel the heat. Maybe you're making decisions that aren't the best decisions. You're pursuing things for yourself rather than for the Lord. And I don't mean like trying to make a living. I mean, you just want to include a lot of entertainment and a lot of things that go nowhere. They're taking your time. Look to Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. And I know that you may feel like you're going through a fiery trial sometimes, but guess what? He has his hand on the thermostat. And if he is the author of the trial, if he is the one bringing up some of the trials, help bring up some bad stuff in us. We need them because they show us. We blame everyone else, but then the trial comes and we see us. I know when I'm going through trials, all of a sudden I'm not looking at everyone else. I'm looking at me. And I see things, and they're good for us. But he has his hand on the thermostat, and he knows what you can handle, and he'll never burn you. He's not in the habit of making crispy Christians. He's perfect.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other building on the solid rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life, and that you enjoy learning more about him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.